DeepEnglish.com.
Second Chances. Active Listening Normal. Philip and Paula DuPont paid $100,000 for their dogs, Ken and Henry. The dogs were expensive because they are clones of the DuPont's original dog, Melvin. Clones created by SOAS, a laboratory in South Korea, are usually $100,000 for just one. Ken and Henry were a two-for-one bargain. Melvin was a special dog. He only cost $50, but Philip said he was the best dog they ever owned. You could talk to him, and you swore he understood what you were talking about. It was weird. The DuPonts loved Melvin dearly and considered him part of the family. They even trusted him to babysit their grandson in the backyard by himself. When Melvin was getting on in years, they decided they didn't want to lose him. They turned to SOAS Laboratory to give them a second Melvin. While Melvin was still alive, they took a skin sample and sent it to the lab. The lab extracted eggs from a donor dog, removed the nuclei from those eggs, and replaced them with Melvin's skin cells. The eggs were then shocked with electricity to kickstart cell division, creating an embryo. The eggs were placed into a surrogate mother dog, and 2 months later, Ken and Henry were born. When Melvin met his two clones, the three dogs acted like old friends. Ken and Henry followed Melvin everywhere, and Philip and Paula said they looked almost identical. Their personalities and behavior were also remarkably similar. Paula says, "Melvin used to come over and rest his head on my lap and look up until I started asking what he wanted. When I came to the right question, he would wiggle around, shake, and sneeze. The puppies do exactly the same thing, and they have the exact bark." The original Melvin died, but having Ken and Henry have helped the DuPonts deal with the loss. While many people think that cloning is unethical, Philip and Paula couldn't be happier. They're even thinking about cloning Melvin again so their grandson can have one. While cloning may be giving second chances to some wealthy dog owners, we don't all get second chances in life. Our second story jumps tracks to the world of human mothers and questions whether we all deserve a second chance. People like to believe that no matter what mistakes you've made in your life, you can change. Your past does not equal your future. Barbara Harris would disagree. She has created an NGO that has paid for the sterilization of thousands of drug-addicted mothers. These women have been given operations that will prevent them from ever having a baby again. Barbara has compared these women to dogs that don't deserve a second chance at motherhood. While Barbara has been painted as a villain by some, there is another side to her story. Barbara was a 37-year-old waitress and mother of six boys in 1989. She began to think about how much she would love to have a daughter. She contacted an adoption agency and was introduced to an 8-month-old baby named Destiny. She met Destiny and immediately fell in love with her. Before she could take the little girl home, the adoption agency said there was something she needed to know. Destiny's birth mother was addicted to heroin and other drugs while she was pregnant. Because of the effects of these drugs, Destiny would forever be mentally and physically challenged. Barbara didn't care and took the 8-month-old home anyway. Just a few months later, the agency called Barbara and said that Destiny's birth mother had just given birth to a baby boy while being hooked on heroin during the pregnancy. Barbara now had 7 children, but she felt that Destiny and this boy belonged together, so she agreed to take him too. Destiny's brother suffered a lot as a baby. He was extremely sensitive to light and noises. He vomited and cried incessantly due to the drugs in his system. 1 year later, Barbara got another call from the adoption agency. Again, Destiny's birth mother had given birth to another baby while using drugs. Barbara took him too. Unbelievably, a year later, Barbara heard the same story. The birth mother, still using drugs, had given birth to another baby. Barbara came to the rescue for the 4th time, but she was angry. She contacted a California politician and worked to get a law made that would make it illegal for women to have children while using drugs. The law failed to get passed, but Barbara couldn't let it go. She had to do something. She created an NGO that offered drug-addicted women $300 to voluntarily get their tubes tied. This was an irreversible operation, but Barbara says these women aren't victims. They are child abusers. The fact that these women sometimes take her $300 and buy drugs with it doesn't faze her at all. Barbara has faced lots of criticism over the years. Some people compare her to Hitler, who wanted to breed a master race. Barbara says that she stands with the children, and if these women suffer, so be it. Barbara's controversial view is that they don't deserve a second chance. Jumping tracks again, we look at a remarkable man named Akira. He was forced to kill as a child, but he didn't let the horrors of his youth define him. He seized a second chance and a new life helping people. With sweat dripping down his face in the heat of the Cambodian summer, Akira pokes through the jungle floor with a wooden stick until he strikes metal. Then, very carefully, he brushes aside the top layer of soil from the overgrown path with his fingers. He uncovers a landmine planted by the Khmer Rouge in the 1970s. "This is an active landmine," he says. "If we step on it, it explodes and cuts the leg off." He then digs around it to make sure it is not booby-trapped. After that, he unscrews the detonator and the mine is safe. Akira is working to make Cambodia safer by clearing landmines with nothing but a stick, a pair of pliers, a pocket knife, and his bare hands. Akira knows all about these landmines because he spent much of his childhood planting them. Akira is unsure of his age, but he believes he was born in the early 70s. Like many Cambodians in that era, his parents were murdered by the Khmer Rouge. At the age of 5, he was made a child soldier. As soon as he was strong enough, he was put to work planting landmines and setting booby traps along the Cambodia-Thailand border. The small hands of children like Akira were invaluable tools. He served 10 years with the Khmer Army laying down countless numbers of landmines. "Sometimes I would carry around 100 with me in a sack," he explained. "Every week I would see someone hurt by them." Later, Akira was captured by the Vietnamese army and forced to fight against his own countrymen to avoid execution. "I had bad feelings, because sometimes we were fighting against our own friends and relatives," he said. "I felt sad when I saw a lot of people were killed. A lot of people were suffering from landmines." Once, when he spotted his uncle in the enemy line, Akira actually shot over his head to avoid killing him. Akira felt terrible about what he had done. When the United Nations came to restore peace to Cambodia in the early 1990s, he saw an opportunity for a second chance at life and at undoing the damage. He spent a year defusing mines with the UN. Even though his birth name was Yun Yik, he was so skilled at clearing mines that his supervisors began comparing him to Akira, a heavy-duty appliance company in Japan. One said, "He works just like Akira." The name stuck. At this point, Akira decided to dedicate his life to clearing landmines in Cambodia, so he started working alone. Over the years, he estimates that he has cleared more than 50,000 landmines, all with his bare hands. Along the way, he built a museum in Siem Reap where tourists can touch defused landmines and learn about the situation in Cambodia. He and his wife have also started an orphanage for children injured by landmines. They've personally cared for over 100 children with missing legs and arms over the last decade. Thanks to a man with a stick and no protective gear, the number of landmine casualties has dropped significantly in Cambodia. He now has a team of over 1,000 people working in demining operations throughout the country.